few announcements that are not in the bulletin, and I hope each one of you got them when as you came in. I know I arrived a little bit late, so if you didn't, I feel free to pick one up as you leave this morning. There's a very long prayer list there. And a few other things that you need to know is that at the East Local, there will not be services there this evening. They're going to join us for our Christmas program. And in regards to that Christmas program, our brother John Geyer has asked that anyone who has an offering that they would like to bring at that time, to please let him know. He would like to put together somewhat of a schedule so we know who comes next and who comes first, who's last and all that. So please contact him in that regard. Also, I have one card here I would like to read to you this morning and a short letter that perhaps would be wisdom to let everybody know what's going on. This is written by Brother Glenn Gill, and so I'm just going to read it in its entirety. The appearance of bone metastasis and subsequent radiation treatments has proven to be more than Margaret's body can handle, and her physical condition has been worsening since mid-September. She has chosen to discontinue treatment on December 19th and is accepted as a patient for Kansas City Hospice. We can't thank all of you enough for the prayers offered for Margaret and her courageous 3.5 years battle with stage 4 colon cancer. We know your prayers and messages of encouragement have contributed to the blessings she has enjoyed, enabling her to live in a relatively full life with cancer far beyond her original prognosis. The cards and letters of encouragement Margaret and I have received have lifted us up over and over again as we face the ups and downs of her chemotherapy and radiation treatments and the weekly trips this year to Tulsa for treatment at CTCA. Several times Margaret received cards from the Phoenix local church and individual letters full of words of encouragement and expressions of love on the very day they were needed most. Margaret has expressed her willingness to accept God's will for her life, to be it a few days or many months. She looks forward with faith in his promises and continues to pray for her list of cancer friends, other church members with cancer, and those she has come across with in cancer support groups at the treatment centers. Perhaps the most important line of all here is at the bottom. It says, feel free to call or write. I will provide updates. These are times that are lonely for them, so if you can find a moment, give them a call, stop by or visit. It would be greatly appreciated. I received a Christmas card, and it's the only one I have read from the pulpit this year because it bears such good news. So I invite you as you later on leave the sanctuary that you go by the bulletin board and look at all the various cards that come from all over the place. It says, dearest brothers and sisters in Christ and United Workers, we're sending heartfelt thanks for your contributions to us as much as we tried to organize and plan for this surgery and living expenses. There was, of course, unforeseen expenses. The furnace went out in our camper, and the water pipes froze, but those were only minor challenges, if you can believe that. That we resolved with your help and God's. We cannot begin to tell you of all the ways God was with us daily, starting with the surgeon's hands at the timing to the timing and weather. God certainly was in control of every single moment leading up to and after surgery. Praise God. Below it says, the blessings of peace, the gifts of hope, the warmth of love, praying your Christmas is filled with good things from above, with love and gratitude, David and Kathy Larson. I ended with that one because it has a positive note to it, perhaps more so than the other. But both of them, I think, feel can be encouraging to each one of us. The service this evening will begin at 6:30, is that correct? 7. 6:30. So I want to welcome each one of you back then. Our speaker this morning is our brother Bick. And I know that he will welcome you in the name of our Heavenly Father, and so would I. Particularly on this day that we have set apart to celebrate his birth, the day when the world chose to do so. And yet, and oftentimes, the meaning of this day has been lost in the hustle and the bustle and all the things that we have added to it. And I know that our brother Bick will remind us of the really pertinent parts of this celebration. The time that we can spend sharing and caring for one another. The time that we can spend thanking our Heavenly Father for the gift that he gave us. So as my brother Bick comes to the mic here, I pray that we'll offer up a prayer for him, that God will liberate his tongue to be able to speak the things that are on his heart. And while you're praying for him, pray for yourselves, because each one of us have minds, and if your mind's like mine, it wanders. And you might miss the very most important moment of the sermon. And of course, your Missouri smiles would be appreciated as well.
Thank you, Jim. I would ask for your prayers this morning. Anybody knows me knows that I need them. And I know I'm thankful, as I believe all of us are, to be here this morning, to have this opportunity to give the praise and the glory to our Heavenly Father as we celebrate the birth and honor the birth of his Son, came into the world for us. And all this day, as we come together, we do want to give him all the praise and the glory, for we know, as we read his scriptures, that he is worthy. And some of what has been on my mind this week is, as we look around us in the world today, it seems like there's so many things trying to take the Lord out of everything, out of our schools, our government. All we have to do is look around us. And I know it is our desire that the Lord is in our lives, in everything, in every part of our lives. And I know it is our desire to serve him and to praise him and give him the glory this day. And also in this season, my thoughts are drawn to the love that the Lord has for us, the Lord love that we have for him. And as I read through his scriptures, I know that we can see this love that he has for us. And that's what I'd like to kind of use this morning, is read some of the scriptures that have been given to us, telling of the coming of Christ, of his birth. And I know we read so many of this, or hear so much in the world, that is from the Bible that lifts us up. But I'd like to start this morning by reading some of the scriptures in the Book of Mormon that tell of the birth of Christ. And as we read through these, I believe they say what's on my heart better than what I can. And as we read through these, I know it tells us that the Lord came to redeem us, to redeem his people. And as we read through these, that most of them that he has sent his angels before him. First, I'd like to go over and read one verse in the Book of Mormon. Page 24. And this is in 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter, and it's the vision that Nephi, and part of the vision that Lehi had. And just one verse, and that's verse 4. Yeah, even 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem, a prophet would the Lord raise up among the Jews, even a Messiah, or in other words, a Savior of the world. There's prophesying here, and I believe this is on their way to this land. And also over in Nephi, or the page 24. And this is in Nephi's vision. I'll start with the 46th verse. And it came to pass that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit said unto me, look. And I looked and beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen. And the beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceedingly of all beauty, and the whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow. And it came to pass, after I had seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, I behold that thou hast shown unto me the tree which is precious above all. And he said unto me, what desirest thou? And I said unto him, to know the interpretation of it, interpretation thereof. For I spake unto him as a man, for I beheld that he was in the form of a man, yet nevertheless I knew that it was the Spirit of the Lord. And he spake unto me as a man speaketh with another. And it came to pass that he said unto me, look, and I looked as if to look upon him. And I saw him not, for he had gone from before my presence. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the great city, Jerusalem, and also other cities. And I beheld the city of Nazareth. And in the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceedingly fair and white. And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me. And he said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I said unto him, a virgin, most beautiful and fair above all virgins. And he said unto me, knowest thou the condensation of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. And I don't know what could be more uplifting than that. I know that he loveth his children, that we have this love from our Lord. And he said unto me, behold, the virgin whom thou seest is a mother of God, mother of the Son of God, after the manner of flesh. And it came to pass, I beheld that she was carried away in the spirit. And after she had been carried away in the spirit for the space of a time, the angel spake unto me, saying, look, and I looked and beheld the virgin again bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which my father saw? Yea, I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad upon all the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyful to the soul. And I know that each one of us believe that today. Also on page 215 in the Book of Mormon, and this is King Benjamin and his proclamation. And this scripture here has always gave me great comfort, and especially since the loss of my father. And I'd like to start in the 88th verse. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and the happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. And again, my brethren, I would call your attention, for I have somewhat more to speak unto you. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. And the things which I should tell you are made known unto me by an angel of God. These things are made known unto King Benjamin here by an angel of God. And he said unto me, Awake, and I awoke, and behold, he stood before me. And he said unto me, Awake, and hear the words which I shall tell thee. For behold, I am come to declare unto thee glad tidings of great joy. And again, that should lift us up this morning, that we have these glad tidings of great joy through the Lord, our Savior, through his scriptures. For the Lord has heard thy prayers and has judged of thy righteousness, and has sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, and that thou mayest declare unto thy people, that they may also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord omnipotent, who reigneth, who was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men. And he shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay. And he shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, and as such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and the curing of all manner of diseases. And I know as we read through the scriptures, we can see where the Lord has done this, and I believe we can see this in our own lives, the blessings that the Lord has given unto us. And he cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. And behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness of the abominations of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. And again, to me, that shows the love that the Lord has for his creation, for each one of us. And I believe it shows the desire that we should have to serve him, to praise him this day, to give him the glory in all things that we do. I'd like to also turn over to a little further in the Book of Mormon, to page 591. And this is in the Book of Helaman, in the 5th chapter. This is Samuel, the Lamanite, prophesying unto the Nephites. I think I'll start with the 54th verse. And now it came to pass that Samuel the Lamanite did prophesy a great many more things which cannot be written. And behold, he said unto them, Behold, I give unto you a sign. For 5 more years cometh, and behold, then cometh the Son of God to redeem all those who shall believe on his name. And behold, this will I give unto you for a sign at the time of his coming. For behold, there shall be great lights in heaven, insomuch that in the night before he cometh, there shall be no darkness, insomuch that it shall appear unto men as if it was day. Therefore there shall be one day and a night, and a day as if it were one day, and there were no night. And this shall be unto you for a sign, for if ye shall know of the rising of the sun, and also of the setting, therefore they shall know of a surety that there shall be 2 days and a night. Nevertheless, the night shall not be darkened. And it shall be the night before he is born. And behold, there shall be a new star arise, such as had never have beheld. And this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in heaven. And it came to pass that ye shall be amazed. Ye shall all be amazed and wonder, insomuch that ye shall fall to the earth. And it came to pass that whosoever shall believe on the Son of God, the same shall have everlasting life. And behold, thus has the Lord commanded me by his angel, that I should come and tell this thing unto you. Yea, he has commanded that I should prophesy these things unto you. Yea, he has said unto me, cry unto this people, repent and prepare the way of the Lord. And now, because I am a Lamanite and have spoken unto you the words which the Lord has commanded me, and because it was hard against you, ye are angry with me, and do seek to destroy me, and have cast me out from among you. And ye shall hear my words, for this intent I have come up upon the walls of this city, that ye might hear and know of the judgment of the judgments of God, which do await you because of your iniquities, and also that ye might know the conditions of repentance, and also that ye might know of the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and of earth, the creator of all things from the beginning, and that ye might know of the signs of his coming, to the intent that ye might believe on his name. And if ye believe on his name, ye will repent of all your sins, that thereby ye may have a remission of them through his merits. And again, I give another sign I give unto you. I'll quit right there. And going back to the 62nd verse is one of the verses that kind of stuck on my mind today. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall believe on the Son of God, the same shall have everlasting life. And I know that is the desire of each one of us as we come here this morning, is to have this everlasting life, to be saved with our Heavenly Father in his kingdom, that there we can continue to give him all the praise and the glory. I'd like to also go into the Bible and just read a little bit out of Luke. And I know everybody knows what I'm going to read here. Going to the first chapter. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. Highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be called great, and shall be called the Son of God, Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And again, this last part should be so uplifting to us. And his kingdom, there shall be no end. and going over to the second chapter. Starting with the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto the city of Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I was thinking when I was reading these next few verses, 9 through maybe 20, what this sight must have been to the angels. I mean, to when the angels came to the shepherds there. And just kind of think in your mind what it would be like if you were there. Just put your mind in there. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things which they had seen and heard and seen. And it was told, as it was told unto them. And I pray this morning, as reading some of these scriptures, that it may bring forth that which is on my heart, that we would give all the honor, the praise, and the glory to the Lord this day. As said, found here in it. I want to read one verse again. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And to me that should be uplifting, that the Lord has come for all people. All those who will believe on his name, they'll do those things that are pleasing before him. He doesn't want to lose one of his children. And I believe that shows the love he has for us. That's why he's come. And I'd like to close by reading two scriptures. One is in Isaiah. The 9th chapter, and 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, and also in John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And again, I pray that we will give all the praise and the glory and honor to our Lord this day, each day of the year, for I know that is our desire. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Vic. If you would open up your songbooks, number 37, we'll sing a verse or two. We'll sing all of that song, number 37, it's Silent Night. And we've got a few changes to make up here on the rostrum for the people who are going to do some music for us. I want to thank our brother Bick for reminding us of those things that are so important from the scriptures that tell us about Christ's arrival here upon this earth. I was sitting there wondering myself, which is most important, his birth or the time that he spent on the cross for you and I? And, you know, one couldn't happen without the other, so they're both very important.